San Diego's talk radio leader, 760 KFMB presents It's Your Money and Your Life. For the next hour, Richard Muzio and Joe Vecchio will educate and inform you on matters related to your financial future, your life, and your leisure. Now, with It's Your Money and Your Life, here are Richard and Joe.
All right, good evening, everybody. My name is Joe Vecchio, your co-host, announcer, and producer, coming to you live from La Valencia with 50,000 watts of power. We're heard not just in San Diego County, but Orange County, LA County, up the coast to Seattle on a good night, out to the desert. If you've got an app for AM 760 KFMB, you can hear us there. You can hear us on 760KFMB.com. And now time to introduce the main man of the hour. He's a best-selling author. He is a philanthropist. He is an accomplished long-distance runner, and he is a family office advisor to several high-net-worth families. He's the family office guy. His name is Richard Muzio, CPA. Richard, how are you tonight?
I am marvelous, Joe. I got to cut out of here right after the show because I'm running a half marathon tomorrow morning and I have to catch a bus at 6:15.
Oh my gosh, where's that going to take place?
It's going to go from Rancho Penasquitos down to Torrey Pines.
Oh my God, what's the name of this one?
I think it's just called the San Diego Half Marathon.
Really? Yeah. Oh, okay, we won't keep you tonight.
13.1 miles. Hopefully the wind's at my back.
But you can do it in your sleep, so I know that.
Well, I probably will be doing it in my sleep.
How about Mary? Is she running tomorrow?
She's out of town.
She's out of town. Okay. Anyway, wow, what a great year it has been, 2013. I thought we'd do the first segment, kind of a year in review sort of thing. So what should we mention? I guess we started the year with one of the best guests we could ever hope for. When you think of philanthropy in San Diego, you got to come up with one of the top names. Has got to be Irwin Jacobs, and we had him on in January, and what a fabulous interview that was.
Yeah, we had to tape him because he actually had to be at the inauguration that weekend.
That is correct.
So I said, Irwin, that's a good excuse. You're the first person to pull that one on.
That's right. The 20th fell on a Sunday, so they actually inaugurated on a Monday. But he brought his three grandkids to the inauguration. I'm sure he had pretty good seats. So
I would imagine.
Anyway, so that was a great highlight. And then how about some of these other great guests?
Well, right after that, we had George Takei.
That is correct. George Takei and all about it. We did a show on Allegiance at the end of last year. And then we had, Takei was, I mean, he might have been before that. I'm not sure. But anyway, that was a great interview. Another legend from Hollywood and comedy, Don Rickles. That was a great show right before.
Yeah, and I went up to Palo to watch his show. He was incredible.
Yeah.
And he insulted us on air, which means we finally made it, which is why we won the award.
That's right, you hockey puck. We're just a bunch of couple of hockey pucks here. But and then another big name in philanthropy. In June, we had Malin Burnham on. That was a wonderful show.
And I learned a lot about sailing, too.
Yes, yes. And what an illustrious career that gentleman has had. So.
No kidding.
And then you had some pretty good highlights. I mean, you released your book, So What's Your Play?
Well, before that, we had Billie Jean King on.
Well, we did. And
my book was sort of a follow-up to a couple of movies.
That's right. Well, actually, when we originally met in 2010 and you told me your story about being Bobby Riggs' 14-year-old scrapbook maker and valedictorian of your high school and everything else, and attended the – and I didn't know anything about the Mother's Day Massacre So I, like a fool, started calling Billie Jean King's office saying we should make a documentary.
Hey, Billie Jean, you should make a movie.
Hey, and it did happen. It aired on PBS nationwide.
Well, before that, it aired in the U.K. on June 26th critical acclaim.
Well, there were two versions. That was right. Battle of the Sexes.
Battle of the Sexes, the movie.
Of course, we had James Erskine on, the filmmaker. Flew all the way here from London, and we had him right here at La Valencia, along with Zara, his co-director, at another occasion. So
yeah, and we interviewed Billie Jean down at the Barnes Tennis Center down here in San Diego.
Oh,
yeah, so September 10th was the PBS premiere of the American Masters. Series.
Episode on
Billie Jean King. Yeah, that was incredible as well.
90 minutes on her life was just outstanding.
And I timed the release of my book perfectly. I was just sort of following along.
Right. And I read your book. It's terrific. It's your whole story as a youngster, keeping up with all the craziness of Bobby Riggs.
Yeah, that man was insane. And I created scrapbooks that are 2,500 pages thick on 11.5 by 17 paper, so it was no small project.
And they still exist today up at the Bobby Riggs Museum up in Encinitas, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, we had Bobby's old practice partner, Lorna Kuhl, on, I think on the 40th anniversary of the Mother's Day Massacre in May, too.
Yeah, so what?
And they're still there, but they're sort of falling apart. So.
I don't think anything has really captured the imagination of the American public. Like a singular sporting event, man and woman. I mean, that may never happen again.
No, I mean, it's never going to happen again.
Not in
because
our lifetime.
Of, you know,
anyway.
What was going on with women's liberation at that time?
There's
back
too many
in
good women tennis players now. But anyway, let's see what else happened. Well, Mary took up running this year.
Yeah, won the prestigious San Diego 5K in like her second 5K ever and in her age group, which we won't mention. She did get the gold medal.
And we may say she's a cancer survivor, and she operates two stores that helps.
No, my daughter. My daughter Demi's a cancer survivor.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Wow.
But Mary runs on the Brighter Side in Solana Beach and opened one up in La Mesa this year.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So, busy year all the way around.
That's good. So, they're helping people with, survive.
It's tough when you get cancer. We've had some guests on who've had some amazing stories this year. Brian Monahan was incredible.
And Jerry, that was...
The Power of Two. I forget what the book is now called, but it's about
called
advocacy.
It's called When a Loved One Falls Ill, .com. Right. Loved One Falls Ill. And it's a great book, and we both have copies now. So
that was a great show. And then later in the year, Joe, of course, we had some guests on surrounding the Oceanside Turkey Trot, my big charity event that the Movie Feet Before You Eat Foundation runs, including Lucas Verzbikas, the Olympic hopeful.
Right. Was that the show that... We did the whole show. We dedicated that show to Irwin Jacobs because we had to do the whole show on cell
phone. No, that was with Kathy Kinane, my partner.
Oh, Kathy, okay.
My partner Kathy Kinane in the foundation.
Okay.
We had to use our cell phones.
It's all running together at this point.
I know, it all blurs together. And then we had Lucas on later, and then, of course, he went out and won the five-mile race Thanksgiving morning, running against some amazing runners.
Lucas Verzbikas, only one of, four high school kids in the whole country to run a
sub-four. You know, he's one of only five to run a sub-four-minute mile, and he has run the fastest two-mile in the history of the United States high school.
729
in history. 829. 729 would really be news, Joe.
Yeah.
829.
Okay.
Fastest two-miler.
But I know
in the history of the United States.
He does in 2 miles what most people can't even do in 1 mile. So
I can't even drive that fast.
That's amazing. And he was fun to have on the show.
He was. And we had over 10,000 runners out there, about 16,000 people, raised over $100,000 for charities up in Oceanside. So that was a really, really cool Thanksgiving. And my joke is, if you think you had a lot of people over for Thanksgiving, I probably had you beat.
Yeah. And then how about that great show we did for the 4th annual Berry Dinner? Our show was airs on Saturday night. This event took place on Saturday night, so I came up with a suggestion. Why don't we try doing a live remote right from the...
We didn't just try. We pulled it off.
Well, we did. It was the 4th annual Berry Good Night Dinner hosted by Michelle Ciccarelli Lirac and Bill Lirac at their wonderful estate on La Jolla Farms. And we had 8 guests that show, and when I listened to it that week, I said, we need to put this show up for an award. And so I discovered the San Diego Press Club Awards were going to be coming up in October. So I believe it was early part of the summer I nominated that show for a single report and then some other shows in other categories. Lo and behold, you were out of town, but Courtney and I showed up at the event, and there were 3 first-place plaques waiting for us, and I just about fainted because our little weekly radio show, Richard, we were up against these daily talk show giants in town, and we were first place in the best radio series in San Diego.
Yeah, it's called a hat trick. We got 3 first place awards, and I missed it because I was speaking to about 40 CPAs in Phoenix, so I didn't nearly faint. I almost fell asleep.
Right.
Oh, I shouldn't say that about my fellow CPA.
But then we got, for specialty reporting, the single report and series, I think we used the UBS or the financial shows for the series.
Right.
And just swept those. There was only about 9 or 10 categories. We took first place
in 3 of 4,
so good for us.
Good for us.
Yeah. And, of course, UBS had another great contemporary art expo. They call Art San Diego, right?
Art San Diego was, I think, the first weekend in November, if memory serves, an amazing, amazing event down at Balboa Park. I believe it's going to be scheduled for the same timing next year, if memory serves, Art San Diego.
So congrats to Michael Caranta and everybody associated with that locally. I think this was the 5th annual here, wasn't it?
It was the 5th annual.
Yeah, but it's based on the Art Basel event in Miami, and it's rapidly catching up. And then your friend and our guest, Greg Reed, worked on a film. You were one of the producers for Stickability.
Yep, we released that with the support of the Napoleon Hill Foundation, sold out 2 theaters, 600 people for our premiere back in early October.
Right, at the ArcLight in UTC.
And that came out really well.
Hey, another cool thing that happened, we had the daughter of Gregory Peck on the night her film was screening. She did Brave Miss World, a documentarian, but Gregory Peck's, the famous La Jolla actor who went on to win an Oscar. His daughter's a filmmaker, and we interviewed Cecilia. And we're going to get her back on the show for a longer interview, so that was terrific. But anything else, Richard, that jumps out at you to...
No, that's pretty, we won't talk about you losing your mother's dog on air.
We found it again.
You found it, but you didn't lose it.
Well, temporarily, Richard.
Temporarily.
Boy.
But we should, before we go to break, we should announce who our first guest is going to be next year, because this is our last show of the year, Joe.
Yes, it is. Well,
2013 is ending right now.
Well, we started with a bang with Irwin Jacobs, and we're going to start next year with a bang with President Reagan's former budget director, and he's a best-selling author and just a brilliant, brilliant person with a national reputation. His name is David Stockman, so we're going to have him on for the hour next Saturday night. So that'll be terrific.
He wrote a great book called The
Most Recent One?
The Most Recent One.
It's The Great Deformation.
The Great Deformation. Yeah. But prior to that, he wrote a book about why Reaganomics would fail, which is a fascinating read as well.
Well,
he, of course, butted heads with the president about the whole Reaganomics concept.
I think he had an issue with the spending that was going on and got run out of town in 85, and now I think he's been run out of Wall Street, too. So he'll be fascinating because he has no holes barred with him.
Yeah, no kidding.
He'll unload on everybody. But he is brilliant. I mean, if you hear him on if you could go online and hear any of his talks, he was at the Cato Institute and all these places. Talking about his book, this guy can talk for 2-3 hours without taking a breath. But I think I'm going to take a breath right now, and so are you, Rich.
That's what we did this year, so stay tuned for what we're going to do next year. It's even going to be better.
Yeah, so congratulations to you, Richard, and to us.
Congratulations to you, Joe.
Thank you. It's been a great year. Now, we're a hard act to follow, but we're going to keep plugging away. But we'll come right back with our guest right after this. Stay tuned. We're back with It's Your Money and Your Life with our in-studio guest. Richard, what do you say I go ahead and start introduce him?
Yeah, although with the caveat, Mike, you've got a tough act to follow here.
Oh, boy. I'm exhausted already just listening to you guys.
Well, now he spoke. I didn't introduce him yet.
Anyway, who is this person?
Anyway, our guest is he's a pioneering agility expert and coach. He's a dynamic speaker, peer advisory group chair, and mentor. He's the author of a book called Wheel Spin, The Agile Executive's Manifesto. He's currently the president of Sherpa Alliance Incorporated. He's a firm devoted to changing the world of support for managers, executives, and CEOs, small and medium-sized and fast-moving business units, and corporations. And his name, and he's also the chair of Vistage International. We'll get into all that, but I want to introduce him right now. His name is Mike Richardson. Mike, good evening. How are you tonight?
I'm very good. Thanks for having me.
We've got that great accent, so I'm sure everyone wants to know where you were born and raised and educated, and how'd you find your way to San Diego?
Well, I kind of have this mid-Atlantic accent, I suppose. I'm English, of course, American now. As of about 5 years ago, we became citizens, my wife and two boys. I grew up in England, in the northwest, so I have a somewhat of a northern accent. And I got into, my dad was a policeman, so we moved around a lot. My mum was a secretary. We ended up spending most of our childhood in the south of England, college on the south coast.
So your dad was a bobby, more or less, right?
He was a bobby, yeah, he
a
was.
Bobby. And do they have used guns or not? Because I've heard.
Well, it's interesting you should ask, because my dad was part of something called the Special Branch, where, yes, he would draw a gun. Mm. If royalty were coming down to our part of the country, he would offer protection services and those kinds of things. Mm. And he would draw a gun for specific requirements and then, of course, give it back.
But generally speaking, most bobbies on the street do not carry guns.
Back in the day, no. And more, of course, now around the airports and the transportation.
So it's changed a lot over there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know. All right. Yeah. So anyway.
Yeah. So then left England after my college. Went to Holland, where I lived for 5 years. I worked for Shell International. Worked on drilling rigs for 2 or 3 years, onshore and offshore, which was a great experience. After 5 years of doing that, I quit and did an MBA at London Business School for 2 years. Spent about 10 years in the UK in the aerospace industry, and then came to the States 15 years ago, initially, of all places, to Wichita, Kansas.
Right in the middle of the country.
Which was a hard sell to my wife. And then, in parallel with moving there, we closed on an acquisition.
Wichita after London? Why would that be so tough? Yeah. Right.
In parallel with moving there, we closed on an acquisition of a software company on Fay Avenue in La Jolla, just down the street here.
Huh.
And I needed to move here
So that was just serendipitous that the company happened to be
just a blessing in disguise, you know. And I had to move here as associated with that to help turn it around. And when I brought my wife down here to check it out, and she walked curbside at the airport, looked through the palm trees across the water at downtown, that was an easy sell.
Goodbye, Wichita.
She said, you're buying more than a business here. You're going to buy a house now.
Right? Indeed. So 13 years ago, we moved here and loved it so much. We wanted to stay, of course. So I took the leap from the corporate world, got my green card, took the leap from the corporate world to do my own thing, and then 5 years ago, got my citizenship, and we're just happy to be here.
Yeah. Is it a lot harder now to get green cards and visa? I mean, it's...
We were very lucky. You know, when I talk about agility, one of the attributes of agility that I talk about is luck. Luck is huge in being agile. We were very lucky because we managed to get our green card 3 months before 9/11.
Whoa.
Wow.
And the INS pretty much shut up shop post 9/11. And I only had 6 months left on my work permit.
Yeah.
So I would have been out of here. And so we were very lucky.
Yeah, because I have a friend who knows a youngster from England. He actually was starting up a business here, but had to go back to England because they just couldn't negotiate the terms. But I believe he's going to come back and make another try at it. But it is more difficult these days.
Yeah, it is very much so.
And Mike, congratulations! I understand you just bought some acres up in lovely Temecula.
Yeah, my wife and I just became empty nesters. Our boys are both now at, so we have two boys, 22 and 20, and we became unlocked from school districts. So we decided to split our real estate strategy into two parts, a dream home in the wine country in Temecula, which we just moved into, and then phase two will be a small condo downtown, and we'll live a kind of bifurcated life, which we're looking forward to.
Congratulations, and if you need a tax shelter, start a winery.
Indeed, yes.
Why not olive oil, Richard? That too, huh?
No, if you want to make money, you go olive oil.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, winery. Well, there's quite a few here, aren't there?
Temecula's booming industry.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah. Well, you know, after the show, we'll go talk to Tammy, and she'll fill you in more on the wine situation because she's the wine director here at LaVie and very, very knowledgeable. So, but what should we talk about now, Richard?
I want to talk about agility because some people might be thinking, wait a minute, what does this guy do? You know, the high bars or something? What are we talking about here in terms of agility, Mike?
Well, you know, when I was a CEO of businesses initially in the UK, and then I ended up running the division, the aerospace division of a British corporation, and that's what brought me to the States, as we were discussing earlier. I became increasingly aware of a problem, and that is that the business world, the economic environment in which we work, the competitive environment in which we work, is increasingly volatile. It's turbulent, uncertain, ambiguous, and the future is coming at us thicker and faster than ever before. And in the face of that volatility, if we don't have the agility to cope, the ability to turn on a dime, the ability to reinvent ourselves and stay ahead of that curve, we're going to be in real trouble real soon. And so that's what I'm talking about. It's business agility and all of the moving parts involved in that, and not least of all, leadership agility. Do we have the agile leadership that we need to drive our business where we want it to go? That's what I'm talking about.
And was this a concept that existed for you before the downturn of 2008, 2009, or is this something that sort of came out of that debacle?
Well, it got amplified by that. It was something I was increasingly conscious of as I was running businesses. I worked with a lot of big consultancy houses. I worked with a lot of very practical training organizations. I worked with a lot of investment banks, you know, buying and selling businesses. But my experience was that nobody really understood what it was like to sit in my seat and to have this inescapable responsibility for the profitability and growth of my business and my business unit or my division. So I had this huge sense of void. There's a vacuum here. There's a problem that isn't being solved, and it's about agility and this volatility that's coming at us thicker and faster all the time. Of course, the Great Recession that we've just been through was a classic example of that. And if you weren't ready, you were very unlucky. you were very unlucky. And you know, I run these peer groups, as you mentioned, and we did well actually to help our members get across that recession in good shape. But some of them were unlucky, and they just didn't have what it took to survive.
Yeah, there was an estimate that that close to maybe 30% of businesses that existed sort of went out of business. Some of those are extremely, extremely small businesses back, circa 2008, 2009. But
of course,
I don't doubt that.
We still have unemployment challenges right now. And but anyway, we've got to take our break right now, Mike, but we'll get into some solutions and more of your career right after this. So stay tuned, everybody. All right, we're back in the second half of It's Your Money and Your Life, and now over to Richard to thank our wonderful sponsors.
I'm going to thank our sponsors, plus we've got some extra people in the room tonight. All of our friends are coming by, but thank you to La Valencia, lovely La V. Thanks for letting us be here. I guess Café La Rue is sort of open.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if it's officially open for 100% of the functions, but at last, the construction is complete. Mike Carranza and Drew Freitas with UBS. Couldn't do it without you guys, so big thank you to UBS. Jason Kruger with Signature Analytics, the best CFO company west of the Mississippi. Brenda Geiger, Geiger Law Offices. I got your holiday gift in the mail. Thank you very much, Brenda. You are overly generous. Brenda Geiger, Geiger Law Offices, Asset Protection and Estate Planning. Joel Grushkin with Cost Segregation Initiatives, helping real estate owners improve their cash flow. Our favorite CPAs on the planet. Don Epic and Paul Polito with Polito Epic CPAs up in Vista. Absolutely great CPA firm. Carl Sheeler with Berkeley Research Group, his new company, helping business owners increase the value of their businesses through risk mitigation and business valuation. Across the street from UBS, here on Prospect Street in La Jolla, Regents Bank, Mr. Sean Puckett and Steve Sefton with Regents Bank, the best business bank I've ever met. I'm going to throw in Courtney Lauver with PopX Graphics, who does a great job with the IY Money website, and our latest sponsor, Servant Leadership Institute with Art Barter. If you want to get some great leadership tips and join some of the best leaders in the world, February 4th and 5th at the Omni Hotel, join Ken Blanchard, Stephen Covey, Dick Enberg, and other notable leadership experts at the Servant Leadership Institute's Winter Conference, servantleadershipinstitute.com for more information. We also have some friends in here just checking things out tonight before they go to movies and do other fun things. Mark Nielsen with Accretive San Diego. I call Mark the CFO guy. You know how I'm the family office guy? Well, Mark Nielsen with Accretive San Diego is the CFO guy. He's also a buddy of Mike Richardson's. And we also have Ewell Herr from Coast Cities Accounting and his good friend Francesco Masturelli, the famous bike racer from Italy, opening up a new restaurant in Encinitas pretty soon. I guess it's going to be late February, so they stopped by to say hi as well. So thanks, everybody, for coming by. And, Joe, how can people find out more about our great sponsor?
Well, if they fire up their computer or their smartphone or whatever they're using, get over to iymoney.com and click on sponsors. They'll get all their personal information, their background information, their contact information, and of course you've worked with them for many years with the many good outcomes and success, right, Richard?
I'm busy with a lot of them right now because of December 31st.
Well,
and I've known some of these people for almost 25 years.
Yes.
I'm not as young as I used to be, but neither are you, Joe.
We're not getting younger. We're getting better.
We're getting better.
That's right.
Next year, it's 4 first place San Diego Press Club Awards.
No, don't
radio
push
show,
it.
Not just 3.
three. If we get 3 again, I'll be
okay. You'll be happy. All right.
But in any case, back to our guest,
Mr. Richardson. What is this? What is this Vistage thing that you do that I've been to a couple times? It's so fascinating to me.
Oh boy, that's been a great experience. I've been doing it for 10 years now. I just celebrated my 10-year anniversary this month. Actually, as a Vistage chair. Chair is a fancy word for facilitator.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And what we do is we get a peer group together of CEOs with non-competing businesses. The more diversity, the better. It's utterly confidential. Whatever happens there stays there. It's not just about business. It's about life. It's about prosperity. It's about everything that you worry about and work on. Financial prosperity, non-financial prosperity, success and happiness, fulfillment. And really it starts from asking the members, what do you want? And secondly, how do you get it? Trouble is most people don't have a very good answer to question number one.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know what they want. So we help them work on what they want in business and life, and then we help them get it, not least of all by holding each other accountable, giving each other support, challenging each other. One of the terms we use in Vistage is we talk about carefrontation, which is we're going to confront you directly right between the eyes because we care enough about you, your business, your future, your life to take the risk.
So accountability is a big part of this.
It's huge. And it's, you know, the reason that members come and the reason that they stay. I have members who've been with me and my group for 10 years, 9 years, 8 years, etc., is because they get accountability, they get trust, they get challenge, they get a blend of all of those things like they can't get anywhere else. And that's where they come and that's where they stay. And it's not cheap.
Sounds like group therapy for high-level CEOs and executives.
Kind of. I mean, it's everything. We have great speakers providing, you know, inspiration. We have great ways of processing really hard issues, business issues, life issues. And it's just a very, very valuable experience, not least of all for me. I mean, it's changed my life in the last 10 years, and I love the work.
Mm-hmm. And how do accountability and leadership go together?
They're inseparable. They really are. You know, when I work with my members, or I work with clients, or I sit on boards, or I'm speaking to an audience, or I'm doing a workshop, you know, with participants, everything is obviously about agility, and at the heart of agility is leadership and communication and teamwork, and at the heart of all of that is culture, and at the heart of that is accountability. So, you know, accountability is about discipline, it's about doing what you say you're going to do, it's about integrity, it's about honesty, it's about all of those things in the mix, and so it's inseparable, in my experience at least, from agility and everything that we're talking about.
And you used one of my favorite words as it applies to business, called culture. Most people don't think of culture being associated with business. Can you please explain?
You know what? When I speak and when I present, you know, I used to use PowerPoint a lot. I don't use it so much anymore. But if I animate in a complex model of, you know, what agility is, because it is complicated, if I was to then reverse animate the elements out and I'm left with the last essential thing, it's culture. Do you have a culture of agility? Do you have a culture of reinventing yourselves with the speed and pace required to be successful these days? Do you have a culture of accountability and challenge and trust and all the other kinds of core values that we might throw in the mix? And do you have a culture of living up to those things every day? Because it's easy to talk about, but it's really hard to walk that talk. And that's what Vistage is all about. We help our members. And you mentioned Mark Nielsen here. Mark has been a member of one of my groups for 6 years. And he knows all about, you know, accountability and culture. And he gets a lot out of the group, and he gives a lot to it. And that's the magic of how it works.
Well, Mark is one of the all-time great givers here in San Diego.
He is.
I have to say that for the public record. So, Mark, thanks for doing that. So, Mike, you're a rather well-known author, too. Can you tell us about your book?
Yeah, so, you know, the book was a labor of love.
So it wasn't easy for you either, huh?
No, it tested my agility like never before. You know what I'm talking about. It's a mountain to climb, bigger than you would ever imagine. You know, when you start off in the foothills, it's exciting, and, you know, you can imagine the end product, but getting there is something very different. And I just felt like, as I said earlier, there's a void. And, you know, like many authors, like yourself maybe, I just couldn't find the book I wanted to read, the book that really nailed agility. And so I decided, you know what, I better write it myself, because if I wait for somebody else, I might be waiting a long time.
Website for the book, what is it, please?
So www.mydrivingseat.com, www.mydrivingseat.com. And the my driving seat bit comes from the metaphor I use called in the driving seat. When you think about it, in the driving seat of your car, when you drove here tonight, or maybe you ran or cycled.
Joe gets driven by a chauffeur, the rest of it.
In the driving seat of your car, think about it. You're able to be strategic and operational, a leader and a manager, long-term and short-term oriented, all at the same time, in a real-time unfolding high-stakes journey, which is pretty hazardous, frankly. Mm-hmm. Especially when it rains.
Most dangerous thing we do every day. Most people don't realize that.
And 99.99% of the time, you get where you want to be on time, safely, and ready for what's next. You have the agility to go on that journey. So what I like to say to business people is then, when you park in the lot outside your office and walk inside, where do those natural abilities go, and how do you take them in with you? So that's where the metaphor comes from, and the book is called Wheelspin, because when you don't have the agility you need, you tend to spin your wheels, and that can cost you a fortune. And the idea is, how do you get out of wheel spin, and how do you get back into traction on your desired trajectory to the future that you want? That's where we started earlier this evening. What do you want, and how do you get it?
And, of course, Einstein said, insanity is repeating the same thing over and over again, expecting to get a different result. So.
Exactly. And you know what? It's shocking to me how much of that, unfortunately, that we see in the business world. Mm-hmm. And in my experience, the majority, unfortunately, of CEOs and senior executives and managers really struggle with this idea of agility. Agility is one of those things, it's very complicated, and it's very prone to misinterpretation.
Well, I think a lot of CEOs and CFOs equate it with putting out fires, which is not really what they're supposed to be doing. You might have to be agile to put out fires, but that's not really where value is.
Exactly, and actually I tell a story in the book. The book starts with a famous aircraft accident, Eastern Airlines in 1972.
Hold it right there, though, Mike, and we'll let them hang on, because we got to take a break right now. Okay. Come right back with more, and you'll hear the rest of that story, so stay tuned. All right, we're back in the home stretch of It's Your Money and Your Life, and back to Mike Richardson and the story from his book about Eastern Airlines. Where were we?
So, yeah, the book starts with this story that I used to really tee up this whole conversation about agility, and it's the very unfortunate and tragic story of Eastern Airlines in 1972. That's the crash in the Florida Everglades. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, after the crash, they recovered the cockpit voice recorder. I used to be in the aerospace industry, and one of my companies made those, so I was very interested in this. They listen to the conversation, and they discover that the crew, which in those days had three crew in the cockpit, had become so consumed by fixing a bulb that they had lost focus on flying the plane. So you segued into this by talking about firefighting. Mm-hmm. And the idea is, yeah, you can be so busy fixing bulbs all day long, fighting fires all day long, that if you're not careful, you're not flying the plane. And the classic example that I use right now, because it's right in front of us right now, and I keep a BlackBerry on my desk that I haven't used for like 3 years. Mm-hmm. You know, as soon as I could get out of that thing, I got out of it. Mm-hmm. But I keep it on my desk in front of me to remind myself and help me remind others. If you don't reinvent yourself, the world will for you. If you don't disrupt yourself, mm-hmm. the world will disrupt you for you. Mm-hmm. And you can be so busy fixing bulbs all day long that you're not flying the plane and figuring out what's the next phase of reinvention I need to go through. So mm-hmm. that's what I get people into.
Hmm. Well, industries are changing rapidly all the time with outsourcing and everything else.
Mike, I know you can't really talk about the people in the business, but typically how big is a company? I mean, in terms of employee size, gross revenue size?
In a Vistage group, we look for the maximum diversity that we can possibly get. So we want small companies, large companies, old companies, young companies, high-tech, low-tech. We want gender, ethnicity mix as best as we can get. Typically, companies are in the 5 to 15 to 50 to $150 million kind of range. But we're for all kinds of businesses, high-tech, low-tech, you know, old economy, new economy, for-profit, not-for-profit, because the job of being a CEO or the chief decision-maker is amazingly similar. The challenges, the issues, the opportunities, the tensions of the job are amazingly similar regardless of the industry or the age or the type of business. And so that's why Vistage works, mm-hmm. because the members are able to help each other despite being so diverse from each other.
I guess it's a groupthink kind of situation, too. Do other CEOs help others come up with solutions and ideas in their businesses? Or
yeah, I mean, groupthink has a bit of a negative connotation mm-hmm. to it, in that it's kind of people lapse into thinking the same way. In fact, Vistage is the opposite.
I meant more like collaborative or quality circle,
exactly.
The kind of thing Deming gets at.
Yeah, what we're trying to do is help members think in a 360-degree rounded way. We talk about coming to a Vistage group to breathe different air. You breathe the air of your industry, your space, all day long. Your employees are immersed in it. They breathe the same air. you come to a visage group and all of a sudden you're surrounded by 360 degrees of diversity. It's like breathing different air.
Mm-hmm.
It's like regaining your perspective. It's about making sure you're not lapsing into groupthink,
mm-hmm.
you know, in a negative connotation.
Mm-hmm.
You are engaging in groupthink in a positive connotation, which is you're being stretched and pushed and prodded and poked from 360 degrees, and as a result, seeing maybe some angles on issues and opportunities that you didn't see before.
And are there one or two common challenges that seem to exist regardless of type of business, size of business?
Oh, yeah. I mean, strategic planning. You know, having a decent strategy, number one. Number two, executing it. Having the discipline, the process, the infrastructure to execute well is just a recurring challenge. Of course, lots of sales and marketing challenges, mm-hmm. lots of people challenges. Lots of process and software challenges, figuring out social media and what should I do or should I not do, etc., etc. And then lots of life challenges, you know, relationship challenges, challenges with kids, of course, retirement planning, wealth management, wealth planning, those kinds of things. And, of course, the life cycle of a business, you know, succession planning and exit planning are all very much in the mix of what we focus on.
And speaking of, well, continuing good work, do you plan to do another book? I'm just curious.
Yes, I do.
Soon or not soon?
Yes.
So tell us about that. Because I don't plan to do another one
soon. So what I do now is I focus on interviewing through webinars and things. People that I call everyday agile leaders. These are people like Navy SEALs, fighter pilots, ER doctors, lifeguards, airline pilots. I'm about to interview and do a webinar with a world championship boxer.
Okay.
And talk about the secrets of agility that those people have to live up to every single day. Their agility is being tested every single day with potentially life and death consequences. If they pass the test or fail the test, there are huge consequences. So what are the secrets that we can distill from how they cope with that? And how do we translate those into business, and how do we facilitate those to have the agility we need in our business and our life? And so
you should interview Francesco here. But
yeah.
You know, how fast do you have to think when you're flying down the Alps on a bicycle?
There you go. So my next book is going to be called, or is I'm working on, is called Everyday Agile Leader, and it's going to be all about those secrets.
You know, we had a guest on, Jim Lampley, and mm-hmm. he produced a series on Freddie Roach, the famous trainer, Manny Pacquiao's
trainer,
and many
others. Freddie has Parkinson's,
and yet he deals with that challenge,
right.
And
right.
Talk about agility and reinventing
right.
himself. So I highly recommend take a look at that.
So Mike, not to give away secrets, but how do you translate being an emergency room doctor or a boxer into running a company?
Well, there are five attributes of agility that you've got to really change your relationship with, and there are five roles to be an agile leader, and the number one role is all about chaos. And how do you change your relationship with chaos from disorganized chaos on the one hand to organized chaos on the other hand?
Mm-hmm.
And what a Navy SEAL or a fighter pilot or an ER doctor will tell you is disorganized chaos is a killer.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, most people think, well, what's the difference between disorganized chaos and organized chaos? Well, there are some very discernible, different ways to think about disorganized chaos versus organized chaos. And if you can master them, then you can master the secrets of agility, just like a Navy SEAL and a fighter pilot, etc.
Interesting. Hmm.
Can you tell us the other four attributes?
Yeah, so the first one is chaos. The second one is triage.
In a minute.
The antidote to chaos is triage.
Okay.
Triage is an acute form of time management, priority management, focus management. The next one is insight, okay,
mm-hmm.
about accumulating the insights that you need. Then comes luck, which we talked about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third one is the journey. I call it journey orientation. How do you get acutely oriented to this crazy, crazy, topsy-turvy, real-time, high-stakes journey that we're in these days, not least of all in business?
Hmm. Yeah. And, of course, luck. We had Neil Centuria talk about luck, and it's just making sure you're positioned well. Go to everything you don't want to go to and get out there. So.
All right.
But we have to wrap it up here, Mike. Thank you so much
for being our guest. Hey, everybody out there, Happy New Year. To all of our friends, thanks for coming by.
Yeah, don't forget MyDrivingSeat.com. Check out Mike's book. And Richard, congratulations to you. Thank you to our guests from Italy and South Korea for being here tonight. And Mark Neal being in their studio.
And Mark Neal's from Indiana, so that's not as exotic. But
anyway, thanks to Justin Hart in the studio for making us sound good. And thanks to Craig Blanke, your account executive. Thanks to Dave Sniff, who always makes us sound good as well. You have a great week, everybody. Don't forget, next week, David Stockman, former President Reagan's budget director, will be on this show, and it'll be a great hour. So you have a great week, everybody. Happy New Year, and we'll see you next week on It's Your Money in Your Life. Good night now.
Stay classy, San Diego.
You got that right. Good night.